Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your pick.
Yeah, you do, Moses.
Four in a row, dude. Yeah, four in a row. You got another one to make, though, here in a couple hours. So.
And the pick is in.
Stop celebrating. No, I don't even know what the number is. What's the number? Niners and Dolphins.
I had it at one when I saw it earlier.
Underdog or
dog.
Favorite? Dog?
Yeah, road dog.
Oh, look at them dogs.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still at one, but the pick is in, and man, it's been a long time coming for me to actually feel good.
Dolphins by a point and a half.
Up to a point and a half.
Oh, in that case, the pick is no longer in. The pick is in. It's about time I got hot.
You're still...
Well, if you want to talk about the juice, I'm still in the red because I'm, 24 and 22, I think? Something like that.
Well, you still suck at picking Niner games. I know that.
Not this one.
That last few, you picked them against the Rams.
Well, that wasn't my fault.
Yes, it was.
Okay, you're right.
All right. Let's go to Skills and Vallejo.
Skills!
Hi, Skills. What are you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. I'm basically just shaking my head at the latest round of gunfire outside my complex.
Oh, man.
Dude, I'm sorry, Skills.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, I don't think it's too bad though. But thankfully, it's not something that I have to really worry about. I'm kind of way back in the back, but hopefully everyone's okay. But anyway, moving on.
Stay safe, man. Yeah, hopefully the Warriors or whatever it is can provide a necessary distraction for you, man.
Yeah, they usually would, except in last night's case where they would just make everything worse. It was all around bad effort. And as the game was going on, and before I make my main point, I do remember the 52-point loss to Boston last season. We're going to put that aside for the moment.
Yep.
But while this loss is going on, and also Willard, I was like you. I was trying to watch the whole game, but the points, they played so poorly that I had to turn it off and turn on General Hospital on YouTube. So I could not sit there and endure
the
whole.
That's quite a selection.
Something
when you're
uplifting.
Pivoting from a Warrior game to go to General Hospital. I went to Chargers Broncos, but what the hell do I know?
Well, hey, I got Amazon Prime, too. I can watch it anytime I want. I'll probably watch it tonight.
All right. Good for you, Skills.
Yeah, enjoy the free kick. It's a rarity.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, that's 48 years? So going back to Golden State, I was texting my buddies, my crew, about, as the game was going on, they were getting, the lead was swelling, or the deficit was swelling bigger and bigger. And I was texting my friends back and forth, and I was like, the worst Warrior team, the Bob Sura, it's a great timeout Warrior. I don't remember them ever losing this bad. I really don't. And I thought about it. Did they ever lose this bad? So I went online and did the research, and I looked at the 2000-2001 Warriors. They're the worst team of my fandom, which goes back to 91. They were 17-65 that year, and they were 4-37 in the second half of the season. So we're talking about wretchedly bad. The worst loss that team had was a 39-point loss to Minnesota.
Okay.
So my point is, it is unconscionable that this Warriors team, who is supposedly healthy, rested, with all these veteran players, including a newbie, a very talented new player who's always, played wherever he's been, to let that happen to them in Memphis. I'm just sitting here. I could not believe what I was watching. I literally could not believe what I was watching, and I'm going to let you guys go with that. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Skills, yes. If I can just offer one there, little piece of positivity in light of last night, because I just looked up the game he referenced. Boston 140, the Warriors 88.
Cut.
They lose by 52. The end of a four-game road trip. You mentioned it earlier. Like, these games feel like they normally happen at the end of a trip, not after a seven-day break, but after they got boat raced by Boston, they came home and played Milwaukee, and they beat them by 35. So
there you go.
There is that. So you lose by 52, then you win by 35. And to use your parlance, they're allowed to come back and beat Minnesota.
They are allowed to.
You know, last time this happened, they came home and they took Giannis and Dame behind the woodshed.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that last night was okay and that everything is hunky-dory with the Warriors. It's not. But put it this way. My mind is on bigger things than one loss. That was awful.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Watch football. Do something else with your evening. Talk to people you love. Go wrap a gift. I don't know. That one was not worth our time. So I don't know about y'all. I left, which really helped. I didn't get involved in all the Draymond frustration. I didn't even see it.
Well, that was long over.
Yeah,
none of them played for the final 18 minutes of the game.
Check back in once upon a time, and you're like, oh, Pods is filling it up. I get it. This thing's cooked. Let's move on. My point is, I'm not going to tell you that that wasn't disappointing, jarring, a sign of things to come. I don't know. My mind is just on bigger things. My mind is on the season as a whole, the setting that the Warriors are in right now with regard to whether or not they should be making a move on Steph versus holding on to all of these pieces going forward. And it's interesting because you and I just talked to Monty Poole.
Yep.
And I really came out of that sort of like, put it this way, if I was riding the fence on the way in, I'm now entrenched in riding the fence.
Right.
Because he'll sit there and say, and this is not what we think, this is what the organization thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they think that Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Pajemski are real future pieces. And I don't want to be flippant with that. But at the same time, he'll also say, Steph is Steph. He referenced Kobe. Kobe wanted to be traded. They didn't do it.
No.
Look at it now. It's a laughable thought. And so, I don't know, man, what's the tiebreaker? For me, the tiebreaker is the greatness of Steph. And I'm willing to be the dummy who thinks that a 37-year-old point guard is worth making everything about him. And I'm fine with it. I'll be that dummy because
you're not a dummy.
No, but let me say this.
When
someone says there's not enough around Steph, my immediate response going forward is going to be, then why are you so worried about keeping him?
Because, I mean, I don't want to get into the business part of it and what he said about trading Kobe. You just don't trade Kobe. You don't trade these players. Yeah, you were down there. I wasn't following it that closely, but you know, and honestly, when you look at what Kobe did the last couple of years of his career, they weren't good, but no. The value they got from still having him, the Lakers weren't good, and Kobe Bryant had, in his final year, it might have been the worst single season offensively in the history of the association. If you look at his metrics,
his efficiency and everything,
his efficiency was beyond bad, but you had Kobe with the Lakers, and so I'm sure they still got 18,000 or so people down there at Staples. My thing is this, and maybe this is where I'm coming to now in terms of a trade. If you can make a trade that has Steph Curry become your second best player on your team, then now I'm open to it.
Okay.
And so if you want to talk about that,
how many people in the NBA even exist that could make that a fact?
Well, there you go. And that's where I am. I would say you're looking at probably 8 to 10 players right now. Well, because right now, if you want to be honest about Steph Curry this season, forget the career, forget the MVPs, the gold medal, the 4 rings, all of his unbelievable legacy. Right now, this player, 36, almost 37-year-old Steph, he's probably about the 23rd best player in the association.
But why can't it be somebody who, even if you don't consider him better than Steph, can change the way a defense attacks Steph? Simply because of his scoring prowess.
I get that.
We're at an age of the NBA, like, because we romanticize all of the Jordan thing, I really think NBA fans get too fixated on who's the one. He's the one, man. Yeah. He's the one. It's all about
him.
Geez, okay, stop. You can have multiple good players and options and win a title. Jason Tatum is supposedly him, but he wasn't even the NBA Finals MVP.
Right.
They have
right.
options. They move the ball. There's people surrounding the three-point
arc. But that Boston team had like 6 really good players,
but
and they've got 4 Hall of Famers on that team.
But there's 2 that we focus on. No, I'm talking like last year's Boston team.
Right.
This is Tatum and Brown. They're not. You take either one of them off.
Well, you got Holiday, and you got other great elite, I think, role pieces. This Warrior team is not that.
No, but they fit. Of course, they're older. I get it. But like option one or assignment one, you've got to take the defense off of Steph. And that doesn't mean you need to find a new one. Him.
Well, that to me is that's you exactly
need,
what
you
that
just
means.
Need to find someone who, when they're not being paid attention to by the defense, they're going to score the basketball.
Well, they have that in Wiggins. They have that in Wiggins. They should have it in Schroeder. Buddy Hield was that guy for the first 3 weeks. Where is that gone?
Buddy Hield is a complimentary piece. He's not somebody who can go get his
they're
own shot.
They're all complimentary pieces, and that's my point.
That's the point.
So my point is, if you're going to make a trade and you're going to go big game hunting, you have to find somebody who's going to make it so Steph is now the two, because Steph is not good enough anymore to be your one on a winning team.
Yeah, again, I'm just not going to focus on one, two, let's label them with Sharpie on their forehead. Like, you need someone who can go find his own shot. You need someone that's going to keep the defense honest, because they're running at Steph, they're pushing everything at him, and the Warriors do not have the goods to make a defense pay for that. And, oh, by the way, yes, that does give me concerns about Jonathan Kuminga. I get it. He's 22. But what are we waiting for here? What are we looking for? I don't care how old someone is in professional sports. I could probably in one hand count the players who became great, who weren't great, or didn't at least show very clear signs in their first 4 or 5 years of playing.
Yeah, we'd have to look at that. That's like, an interesting way to put it.
What are we? Come on. Come on. Like
players who become all-stars after 4 years of development. It's a little bit harder, I think, now because players don't enter at 18. And, you know, Steiny always talks about Jermaine O'Neal and his trajectory. Yeah. I don't know if he ever made an all-star team.
He did.
At 18, he was raw and young, and he actually did get a lot better. So he's allowed to get better and do that. But you're right. It's more the exception than it is the rule.
I'd like to actually bring up something Bobby Marks said to us that I think is really relevant to Jonathan Kuminga and his current standing in the NBA. We'll have that for you next. But above all importance, your response to that idea. Do the Warriors need to earn a trade? T and Dave, you guys are coming. We have some open spots if you want to weigh in on that. Do they need to play well to earn a trade? Or does poor play mean more that they need to have a trade? 888-957-9570, the number. The holiday spirit sparkles in downtown Los Altos. With more than 150 unique shops, you're going to find special gifts and fine holiday dining. Downtown Los Altos, your destination for festive events and fabulous holiday shopping. All with free parking. Get more info at downtownlosaltos.org. It's Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, is Jerry Stackhouse. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah, Stack.
It's the first time you played that one. I never heard from. I didn't even know we had him from Stack.
Yeah, we got Stackhouse. Yeah. We also got Terry Stotts. How about that?
What'd Terry say?
There's no way he hates on my picks. Terry's just a good guy.
No, Terry.
He just gave the generic vanilla. Now back to Willard and Dibs.
Oh,
and that was
that's too bad.
Hi, this is Pat Spencer. I've never heard of Dibs.
I don't have one from Pat.
We never heard of you either, Pat.
That's mean.
His brother on Memphis, though. There's a little family reunion going on last night.
Yeah, exciting.
Did they square off at all?
Were their mom in the stands with a half jersey on?
That's I did not so notice funny. That.
Was she there? Like when the Chargers play the Niners and Mama Bose is like, oh, I get to cook for two. Yay. Joey Bose is going to the playoffs.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Nick's not.
Not Harbaugh. Anything but Harbaugh.
Wow.
What's that referring to?
I don't really remember.
Wait a minute. Do we have pre-Harbaugh sound from Cheryl Bosa saying that Joey does not want to play for Jim Harbaugh?
I think it might have been something like
and
that.
And now he plays for Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. I feel like we probably should have done something with that a little while ago.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know where Jim Harbaugh is in the Coach of the Year odds, but he is immediately taking a team that should have been this for the past 3 or 4 years, and now they're that.
He's probably got to be pretty high on the list, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Is anybody else going to the playoffs that surprises you. I mean,
Minnesota,
their opponent last night.
Yep. Kevin O'Connell, sure. Sean Payton,
yep.
But they, like, you know, the Broncos have got to, they got to take care of business. And then, you know, just because of the nature of who he is and the way they've played all year, I think Dan Campbell is on the list.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell's on the
just
list.
Just look at the latest. Kevin O'Connell is plus 109.
He's the favorite.
Yep. Dan Campbell second, then Sean Payton. Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn is ahead of Jim Harbaugh?
I don't even see Harbaugh on this.
That's
according
stupid.
To sportsbettingdime.com.
That's I see dumb. Harbaugh as the fifth option at plus 1,000.
Yep.
Huh. Well, then he's not going to win, but he should be higher on that list.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, 888-957-9570. Draymond was asked if this is rock bottom.
Why does this not maybe feel rock bottom? Right?
Because we know the group that we have. We know it's a connected group. We know it's a group that's more than capable. We just got some things that we got to figure out, and we will be all right. Ain't nobody won a championship in December.
Mm.
Fair. But he also, this is the same guy who talked about, I can't even get up for Charlotte in February. So, I mean, it's all prisoner of the moment commentary, but he's right. No one's ever won the championship in December. You can lose it in December. I'm not saying they have, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that New Orleans Pelicans will not win the championship, and it's December.
It's a good call.
So they've lost the title, and it's December.
I'm not going to fade the Dibbers on that pick.
Okay. I wouldn't. I'm hot.
Well, and I'll attempt to do something here that I know is not going to work, but if you can't win a championship in December, then maybe we start having this conversation in ways that don't include the idea of a championship. Like that sort of, and I know that I always, I know I get a reaction when we do this, but this whole like championship or bust mentality, it just doesn't wash for me because you can't win it in December or January or February. And so I like the phrase that the Warriors keep using, get better. Like if we can do something that's going to make us better, we're going to do it. And maybe that leads to round one or round two or round three or whatever. But that's later. That comes later. And I don't know if that's necessarily the only measuring stick that we should use. Like I want to see the Warriors just get a lot better. It's similar to the point I made about the Niners yesterday. Use these next three games to be 49ers. Like, start looking like the 49ers again. Play better. There's value in that. Even if it doesn't lead to a ring. And maybe Steph doesn't agree with that, but I like whenever we talk about trade possibilities, and I hear that a lot. Does that make you a champion? Well, I don't know. I don't know, but it makes you better.
Yeah.
So I would, to me, that's worth it.
But there's multiple ways to get better, and you can have the players that you have play better, and you can get better that way, or you can trade the players that you have and try to bring somebody in and think that that's going to have you get better. I do think that the question was a little bit of a loaded one about rock bottom. If you're 14-12, that's not rock bottom.
No, but that's,
and I get it. I get what we do.
Lost by 51.
Fine, and you've lost 9 of 11, or you've lost 10 of 14, whatever you want to look at as the metric. But this is not quote rock bottom. And when you lose a game like that, you lose it, and hopefully you're able to get rest and come back against Minnesota and be better. I don't think that looking at this as rock bottom is the real issue. I look at what this team has been now for 2 and 3 weeks, and I see a team that is really flawed in a lot of different ways. And when you have a flawed team, a lot of times you can get rescued by your superstar. But I don't think that this superstar now at 36 and almost 37, I don't think that he's the rescue guy anymore. So I look at the overall team not as rock bottom, but to me, there's deep, disturbing trends about who this team actually is.
Yeah, I want to know what's wrong with the defense all of a sudden. Like these big...
What do you mean? They've only given up 143 and 144.
You know, this whole, like, they stink, they can't score, maybe they're not good, maybe they are, and then there's the youth, and then there's the old. I'm just like, what happened to your defense? You guys were playing really good defense the whole year. And these last two games, you've been turnstiles. What happened?
Yeah.
That's what I would ask, Draymond. You're the leader of the defense. What's going on out there? He'd be honest about that. He'd be honest.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is live ball turnovers leading to easy shots. And also the three-point percentage that they're allowing right now, they're not getting out to shooters. And
that's on them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that a lot of times when they, the other team just got hot. Well, you're making them hot because you're not guarding them close enough. Dave in the city. Hi, Dave. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Hey, fellas. I got two things to say. Starting with yesterday, that loss was absolutely on Stephen Curry. I mean, he came out with no aggression at all. He was just being so passive to his teammates. And then when they went on runs, the Grizz, I mean, he has to find a way to quell that and kind of, you know, maybe get to the line, you know, do something instead of just hoisting up threes. And my second thing is, I think with all the trade speculations, I don't know if the players want to keep getting up every day, knowing that they might be on the block or getting out of there soon. So that might be a factor in terms of the second unit. And if you are going to make a trade, I mean, go get Brandon Ingram. You need somebody that could put up points, run with the horses. I mean, you go get him.
Yeah, Dave, I'm not going to disagree with your point. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
I can't tell you how many different doors I've knocked on, and they say the same thing every time. The Warriors have no interest whatsoever in Brandon Ingram. Like, every time someone brings him up, I'm like, I can sort of see where you're coming from, but for a bevy of reasons, they don't see it that way.
No, I don't think that he is the guy. And, you know, Steve Kerr had a chance to coach him, and then he didn't coach him because Ingram didn't really want to play. And so I think that there's a bad taste in the mouth from that standpoint. And I do think that if you're going to add a player to this team and you're going to keep Steph and Draymond, it's got to be a certain player. And that's why I was so excited about Dennis Schroeder, because he does have a little bit of that snarling dog, that toughness, that edge that you need. And that's why the Jimmy Butler thing is interesting to me, because Jimmy is cut from that same cloth, where Jimmy Butler in the right spot would compete, I think, for everything that he would possibly want to win.
Don't lose your Schroeder fire. One game.
I lost it.
Don't lose it.
No, and I do like conditions.
There's one game, and it was a stupid game. That was a stupid game.
And I just watching him play, and I know it's going to take time for him to get comfortable, but some of the things he was doing are not things that we do here. For example, there was one time where he gets a defensive rebound, and he's looking to push, and he immediately pitches it ahead to Kevon Looney on the wing. It's like, we don't do that here. We don't throw the ball.
Well, that's going to take a minute.
So he pitches it ahead to Kevon, and Kevon catches it at about 17 feet and immediately throws it back to Schroeder. It's like, dude, we don't do that. We don't throw it to me on the break. Haven't you watched us?
I went to the Lovely Christie's for dinner last night.
Nice.
She texted me. Right, thank you.
During dinner?
She made those on you. No, I hadn't gone over there yet. And I was on the way, and she was on her way home, and she wanted to let me know she was home so that it was like, okay, you can come over, I'm home. And then I get another text right away as I'm on my way over there, and it says, Warrior game sucks. Switching to football.
Nice.
Want to know what time that came at?
Well, the game tipped at 5. That must have been about 5:17.
Well, a 5 o'clock tip is actually like a 5:12 tip.
Fair enough.
5:32.
Oh, there you go.
So don't lose your Schroeder fire. That game sucked, and it was over immediately. Immediately.
Yep.
So I don't think we got any data last night. I really don't.
We got some data.
I mean, you could, not about individuals. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
And he blamed it on Steph. Sure, Steph was terrible. You can do that. I don't think you ever lose by 51 because of one guy.
No, but I look at, you know, if you want to talk about data, I look at a team that was coming off of they didn't play. They played Sunday the 15th, and before that they played Wednesday the 11th. So you're talking about one game in 9 days. And that's what you come out with against a Memphis team
that should
be a rival, and they are a rival. And Memphis comes out of the locker room, and they want a piece of you, and you were down 13-2. And you showed almost no pushback, and it got only worse from there.
Yep.
That, to me, is the bigger troubling sign, where you had a rest, you have a new player, you've got just a 2-game road trip, and you're trying to snap out of a funk, and that's what you come with?
I'm with you. I'm with you. It was very surprising. We did Warriors Live, and I sat here, and I'm like, this is going to be an interesting one. You got Schroeder, and you're rested. Let's see it. I mean, they couldn't even hang in there until we got home.
Right.
I was still in traffic. And that sucker was cooked.
Yeah, I got off BART and I got in the car and I was listening to Tim Roy. Yeah. And 13-2. And it's like, wait, what? And the Warriors are going to take the timeout. They're going to take the break.
It's an obliteration sensation.
That was a buck.
T in the South Cha-ching! Bay. Hi, T.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dibs, I got something for you. I love you, but my third point is directly related to your Stephen Curry comment.
Wait to
yeah,
it.
Let's
I can't
go,
wait
T.
To hear it.
What are your first 2 points?
Bury in the lead.
Get
my
them
first
quickly.
2 points.
Yeah.
All right. First step is I think we need to define what we have, and what we have is a group that went out and tried to get Markkanen and Paul George, didn't get them, so they stacked the middle of our kind of talent pool. So we're very middle heavy, and what they're doing on a nightly basis is subbing five in, five out, and trying to beat teams with superstars with like an energized Kyle Anderson. And he's good, and some of those other guys are good, but this league, what's most apparent to me is that you need superstars to win in the postseason. I can see this team kind of getting us there, but in the postseason, we'd fall flat because, again, this is a star-driven league. Secondly, the thing I'm most leery of when I'm looking at talent is guys that play well on losing teams. I'm actually more judgmental of them than I are of guys who don't play well on losing teams because those guys at least haven't shown their hand. And when I look at a guy that averages 18 points for Brooklyn and they can't win, his good just isn't good enough. That sounds negative, but I think my definition of Schroeder is he's a backup point guard. He can mix in and out of the starting lineup a little bit, but we just can't have a 6-1 guy in our backcourt. And the third thing I want to say is if anyone thinks Steph Curry is out of the top 20 with how electric he is and how he impacts the game, I don't see that. I think that what's polarizing now is that there isn't a second or third option. All great teams have three great players, and we have one. So once he gets back to a more of a balance on that front, I think you'll see Steph, who has, I will say, lost some lateral movement, but he's still able to kind of carry the torch, in my opinion.
Yeah,
thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm just saying, put aside legacy T and just look at this season, this singular year, and how he has played. And I know he's going to be an all-star, because that's what we do. You get legacy all-star nods, and the game is here.
Especially when
but
you're
when you look
it,
at
yes.
his play and his performance so far through 26 games, he's not playing at an all-star level. And I stand behind the fact that I don't think that he's a top 20 player in the league this year. Look at how he's played. He's played great at times, but his overall play, he's taken a step back, and it's okay to say that.
I'd love to. We don't have time for the exercise because it's a long one. I'd love to hear your 20 players who are better. But
yeah.
Here's like, I don't see it, but that's fine.
About seven of them on Memphis last night.
Well, okay.
You're welcome.
Cherry pick. But
yeah. Yeah, Santi Aldama. How about
no
that?
No answer.
I think
Alperen Şengün.
This is about how we view Steph and stardom, to me. The romanticism of the NBA star. I think Steph is fine. It's just a matter of what you're asking him to do. I don't care if he's top 20 or 21 or 18 or whatever. He can still absolutely play if the entire defense is not solely focused on stopping him. That would be hard for any star. Any star. Do you think if the Denver Nuggets, literally, if they had no Jamal Murray and they had no Aaron Gordon and they had, there was nobody, and there's no Porter Jr., and five guys could just be like, okay, I got the right shoulder, you've got the left shoulder, I'll take the left ankle, you get his forehead, and I'll get the right ankle. He's not doing anything.
He'd still hit you for 25.
Maybe, and Steph does too. Steph is averaging almost 20, 22 a night.
Yeah.
Like, my point is he just, whether you want to call him a 1, a 1A, is he a 2A?
Well, he's their 1, but they have no 2.
That's the point.
Well, and T's point was all these good teams have 3 good players.
They need more good players.
The Warriors would need 2.
Great.
Good players.
Great.
You can't get 2 players.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do know
no,
that.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. You're
How
not
do
gonna,
you know?
So you're going to go out there and trade for 2 elite players just because you want
they
to?
They don't need to be elite.
They do need
they
to be elite.
They need to be good. They need to be good. They need to be
effective.
They need
to be better than good.
Yeah, they need to be effective on both ends of the floor. I am still a believer in team basketball. I like you see some champions do it by team basketball. I know in our minds we want every championship to be like Jordan, Dog, Nike, trophy. It's not always like that, man. You can be a group. Hell, we used to call this group strength in numbers.
Right.
And even when Steph was the one, there have been other ones. Or,
well, you had Hall of Famers alongside of them, and now you don't.
Yes.
You've got Draymond Green and a bunch of bit players. But and if you look at all the other good teams in the association, they all have two and three really good players.
But they won a championship 2.5 years ago without anybody else playing at a Hall of Fame level.
That is ancient history.
I understand it is, but I'm talking about the way a team is built. That was a team that had a lot of good players.
Including Jordan Poole.
None great.
And Klay Thompson.
And none great. Klay was not great anymore. And Andrew moonlit as like...
He was very, very good. He was great. He was an all-star that year.
Correct.
And he was great
but
down the stretch.
Not, he was not Hall
Jordan
of Fame
Poole
great.
Was great during the regular year. He averaged 20 a game.
And mid in the playoffs. But anyway, yes, that's the point.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of good players they could turn
and
to.
And now they don't.
Right.
So, and I don't think that you're able to go out there and just turnkey and get two other really good players to help this team.
But you go get one more or one and a half more, and then you watch how some of the ones you do have get unlocked. Again, potentially. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm just of the mindset of try.
Well, I'm of the mindset that it won't work, and I'm not buying it. And I look at what this team, you've got Draymond Green going out and not scoring, assisting, or rebounding over the course of a game. And I understand it's a small sample size, but that to me is an alarming performance where...
Terrible night.
You commit four fouls and you do nothing, and Steph doesn't even get a singular basket.
Bizarro night.
Yes,
bizarro.
But it's been more than just one bizarro night. Back-to-back games, you've given up 140 points.
Correct, but that's the only thread. Like, the Warriors against the Mavericks did not look like that.
The thread has been losing. That's been the thread.
Understood.
So, if you want to look at how they're losing,
but
they're losing
night,
games in unique and fun new ways.
Not like last night. Again, that has not happened, quite frankly, ever in their careers. So I'm just not, and I know that that's the way we all do things now. We can watch, like, this is what's happened to Brock Purdy and his conversation. We could watch him for 3 years, win playoff games every year, go to multiple NFC title games, win a Super Bowl. Then he has two bad games. We're like, I don't know. I think we should trade him. Like, we get so focused on what happened last night.
It's not last night.
Last night,
you look at the thread. You go back to November 23rd.
But they don't lose in other games by 50.
It doesn't matter. They're losing games.
Understood.
You lose to San Antonio, and you lose to Brooklyn, and you lose all these games.
Which is the point. They've got work to do. They've got trades to make or better play to get. But I'm not going to use last night as descriptive of who they are all of a sudden.
It is indicative of who they are. And
it's happened one time.
Well, it's happened actually twice this calendar year where you've lost by 50 or more. The Boston game was last March.
It was
March,
a different season and a different roster.
But you're looking at a team that is losing games with more rapidity, more rapidly, and you're talking about a team coming off almost a week off, and you go out there and you give that effort. I'm not just going to dismiss it as a one-off.
I'm not going to you should.
It's one game.
You can be totally angry about it. But I'm not angry.
I'm just saying this is more indicative.
It'd be awesome if
this
you
is
were.
More indicative of who they are as opposed to a plucky little start where you were able to cuff around Portland and Utah a bunch of times and a New Orleans team that isn't very good.
Yeah. Again, you're conveniently blowing off a list of six plus victories that they had in that
stretch.
Sure,
and I could show you six negative losses over the last stretch.
Losing
so we can all pick and pop how we want to do
losing
it.
Losing is fine. I'm not going to use last night as now. This is descriptive of the Warriors. Describe the Warriors to me. Someone just landed from the moon. Oh, usually Draymond and Steph don't register stats and they lose by 51. Like, literally the worst night of their careers.
Right. The descriptor is they're 14-12, and they're good at times, they're bad at times, and they're a mediocre team with an aging group of stars and a bunch of role players
around
it.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's who they are.
So fix it.
You can't fix it.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I don't think you can fix it. And you can try, and you can shovel the future into the trash, because that's what so many people want to do.
That's an overstatement. That's an overstatement.
You can light the whole future on fire with kerosene if you want. I personally don't want to do that.
What? Future! What is this story that you've all built in your heads?
First round picks? Are those not potentially actually good players?
Sure. Although,
was Steph Curry a first round pick once upon a time?
A wonderful math brain like yours. It's fascinating the way you're fixated on first round picks, yet you haven't done the exercise to lay out what that mathematically is. I bet you it's a single-digit proposition in terms of being a great player.
As far as the percentage
of a first-round pick.
There's two different things. There's the lottery first round, and then there's the rest of the first round.
Which you will have no idea what you are until you get there.
Well, you're looking like a lottery team again. And last year you were, and you didn't have the pick because you had previously traded it to try to build up a roster, which is fine because that actually paid off.
Yeah, but not like, I mean, you're talking lottery in the teens. Which is different than lottery in the top five.
It depends on who you get. Steph Curry was a sixth pick, I believe.
I think, was he six? Seven?
Overall?
I think seven.
Seven. Yep. I think he was seven.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. 888-957-9570, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com. Joe, Ben, got some open spots. 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
On it. Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
That is my favorite children's book. I got them for all the nieces and nephews in my life. He really should do that. Like an audiobook version of that.
Stand on it. Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
That's like, I mean, a few more lines and that's a song, man. That's a riff.
Good cadence right there.
Some bars right there.
No doubt. Could be a children's book. It's about a young person trying to, do what they say they're going to do.
Looney and Moody do yoga.
Yeah. I wonder if they still do yoga.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they do until they get traded.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Then anyway. They can do yoga somewhere else.
We do yoga.
They're going to have to do it on Zoom.
Got it. Noted.
Joe in San Jose. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy holidays.
Yeah, to you too, Joe.
Bay Area sports right now, you could wrap it up with just say it's a frustration sensation.
Thank you.
I have two things I want to say. One about the Warriors, one about the Niners. With the Warriors, I'm curious your guys' opinion on this. So all these losses seem to have taken place as soon as Melton got hurt. Now, I'm not saying that that was the cause and the reason why we're losing these games, but the timing was that. He got hurt, and then we started losing games like crazy. I'm curious what you think the impact of that injury was, and if there is anything having to do with us losing him that has caused a shakeup in this system that Steve is trying to bring to the table here, to a point where that maybe triggered and snowballed this losing effect, or if that has nothing to do with it at all. And as far as the Niners are concerned, you had mentioned earlier that you feel that they should play all out and play hard and play these rest of the games hard. And I'm curious, wouldn't it be more prudent to maybe play the starters since the writing's on the wall with the season already, to play the starters like half the game and then give your backups real game exposure and experience for the rest of the season, just to see where they're at and get them actually some in-game, real game time, so you can find out more about their worth for the rest of the season. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, anyway, Joe.
Hope you guys have a good holiday.
To you as well, Joe. Yeah. And I think, Dibs, I think you agree with Joe. It's certainly a fair opinion. It is a point that I understand if you feel. I just don't personally feel that way. So you ask, wouldn't it be more prudent? First of all, as harebrained as it is, we're not there yet. The Niners have not been eliminated.
Agreed.
And so you just, for so many reasons that we don't need to go into, you have to play until the buzzer. Now, the buzzer probably sounds Sunday night. That's probable, just with the way things will fall with all of the other games. If it does, then you assess there. I personally, players who have not sort of popped in practice, earned their way onto the field. I know that the fans want to. This is just the way I look at it. The fans want to go, let's see them. And I think Kyle goes, well, I've already seen them. I see them every day. And they have not earned their way on the field. I think there is value, especially when they're not playing well, in the veterans, the people who you know are going to play next year. I think there's value in seeing if they can keep working together, play better football, get better vibes, whatever. And that game against Detroit, hell, that is Monday Night Football against the one seed. I am not turning that into let's see Jacob Cowing. That you gotta play. Now, if you get to week 18 and everything is just a complete fire and the Cardinals and Niners are both out of it, I would be more open to a conversation for that game alone. But you, like what a lot of you are suggesting just doesn't happen until the last week of the season. You don't see it two, three weeks to go. It
depends on which team and which player and which circumstance. And I do think that the big one is the quarterback. And, you know, if you already think that the quarterback is the dude, and I do believe that they think that, once you're eliminated, you can start to make moves to maybe have him play a half in week 17 or not play at all in week 18. You don't have to necessarily go out there and give it your all just to try to, you know, beat Detroit for some other team. That's nice to go out there and compete, but you don't owe that to anybody else. What you owe is to your team to get better. And if Brock Purdy's healthy, and he says that he is, and we heard it yesterday, and Brock said, no, the shoulder's not an issue, fine. Go out there and play, and maybe he and Ricky Pearsall do make some progress, and they take some steps forward and the rest of it. I'm with you there. As far as this Sunday goes, you actually might be eliminated before kickoff.
That's true.
The Rams play in the morning. If the Rams win, then you cannot win the division any longer. And, you know, you could still hold on hope for a wild card, but...
Yeah, isn't that possible? Washington would have to...
The wild card, yes.
Washington would have to lose out. Seattle lose out.
Well, Washington also plays at 10. So if Washington beats Philadelphia, then there goes the wild card as well.
Sure.
So you could get to your kick and already be eliminated. Not that it's going to change your game plan because you're already, you know, going ready to beat Miami. And I do think there's a little bit of the Shanahan-McDaniel thing in there where... He wants to go out there and beat Mike McDaniel, and I get that. And you want to go out and end the season the best possible way you can, but I do think there's room to play some of these younger guys, even if they haven't fully earned playing time. Well, now's the time for you to go out there and see what they can do.
I mean, the other thing is some of them are going to be playing.
Right.
You're already playing a bunch of rookies. Patrick Taylor's going to be supposedly your bell cow back this weekend. Yep. You're going to get a look at some people. That's the other question I'd ask. Who are these people you want to see? You mentioned Cowing.
Yep.
Give me another name. Anybody you want to see who I haven't seen yet?
Well, I mean, I could name backup offensive linemen, yeah, but that's not really not really sexy.
I don't know what the big win is there. That's just me. Tim in Burlingame. Hey, Tim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? Mark, I work at Burlingame High where your dad worked.
No way, Tim. What do you do over at Burlingame? Yeah.
I teach AP Lang, and I called you guys about a year ago to help you learn the difference between run the gantlet versus run the gauntlet.
Oh,
I don't remember
yeah,
that. You gave
I
me
do,
a lot of crap.
I do remember that, although what I don't remember is then the conversation that ensued, so I still have no idea what the difference is, but thank you for trying.
That's good. Hey, so I have an imperfect but interesting analogy about the Warriors, right? I had a friend who had this. She had an orchid. And it was starting to kind of die, and you know, the beauty of the bloom at the top. And we said, well, what's going on? She's like, well, you know, I keep pinching off these little buds on the bottom because I think they're sucking the life away from the beautiful bud at the top. And we were kind of like, that's not really how it works, right? This beautiful aging orchid is still kind of beautiful, and she was plucking off all the new buds that were actually going to sprout and become the new beautiful orchid. It's an imperfect analogy, but it's what I thought of when I thought of you two arguing a few minutes ago, and I appreciate it. I hope you guys have an amazing winter break and all that.
Tim, you as well. I appreciate it so much. Big day for winter break, by the way. I mean, most schools, it's 3:56.
I think they're already out and about.
Y'all just got out, didn't you?
Well, a lot of them, it's a minimum day today, too, so they've been out for a while.
Oh, for sure. My daughter actually is, not only was she out earlier, they're already in the city playing soccer right now.
Nice.
I think they're playing university?
Okay.
I don't know. They're playing somebody right now, yeah. Finals were over hours and hours ago. But if you are a newly minted winter breaker, congrats.
Yeah, get after it.
Feels pretty good.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Anyway, the idea, though, like, I fully get his analogy. However,
I kind of missed it. Like, you're pinching the bud off the orchid.
Well, he's saying that if you trade the Kamingas and the Pods and the Moody's of the world, you're pinching off of the new blooming flowers in an effort to let the big flower, the big established flower, stay strong.
Right.
And he's saying, I don't think that the flowers work that way. And that's a fair opinion to think that maybe the Warriors won't work that way either. The only difference, I guess, to the analogy, and he admitted it was imperfect, I don't think anybody's suggesting that Kuminga and Pods or anybody else, even unnamed draft picks, I don't think they're pulling away from Steph Curry. I don't think they're taking his shine or whatever. They have not become, at least not yet, the necessary stems to support the big orchid. And like, maybe that timeline doesn't work for them. I'm not even blaming them for that. But at the same time, if there's a way to sort of regenerate those leaves and turn them into a stronger supportive piece for the big flower, I still think it's worth it to do it. I know a lot of you think that the big orchid is already, it's dying.
Right. It's wilting.
Yeah.
The flower is wilting, and you can't, like, you could prop it up with sticks and stems, and you can, you know, try to bring another flower in to dress up the pot and the orchid that you have, but the big orchid is fading, and it's dying. It's aging out, and that's okay. That's what happens with orchids, and we actually get a lot of orchids in our house, and sometimes they last 3 months, sometimes they last 6 months, and the six-month ones are great, and it's like, man, that thing lasted a long time, and this orchid, Steph Curry, has lasted a long, long time, and it's been beautiful. It's been one of the greatest flowers in the history of flowers, and yet here we are, and it's getting that time to the point where, you know, you're losing some leaves, and it's almost time to part with that flower, and you could try to prop it up if you want and, you know, give up other assets to bring in something else. I just don't think that's a smart move to make.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Do you know what's interesting about the conversation we're having right now? I just caught this. Sometimes you, when you see it in print, it's different than when you're having a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
So Monty Poole joined us earlier. NBC Sports Barry's very, very tapped in. The station, also known as Director of Sports Lucas Alexander, has put one of his quotes up on Twitter. On our Twitter feed. Good job. You're another one of your good impressions.
Thank you.
When you read it, I caught something that I didn't catch the first time when he said it. Listen to this now. Quote, I know they're going to be active, but I don't sense Mike Dunleavy or Joe Lacob feel they have to do something right away. They want to play it out for a few days and see how it goes. I didn't catch.
A few days.
For a few days.
Right.
Like, when you tell me on December 20th, they're not panicking. They want to play it out. Like, my brain goes, oh, so that's at least another month. He said they want to play it out for a few days. Huh.
Do you want to hear it?
I do.
Have the, yeah, why yeah. don't you do the legal first, and then I'll play that
wow,
for you.
Wow, that was forceful, and I like that. I like that.
You're time for the legal.
Yep, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. Why don't you stop telling me what to do? KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. It's always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.